Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity
Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to My Security Media's Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast. And we're at DCD Australia in Sydney at the ICC. And I'm joined by Jim Fletcher, the strategy partner for Momenta Partners. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Jim, you were formerly the CTO for IBM's Watson program, and you gave a keynote this morning on edge computing. Mm-hmm. What are your observations? You're based in the US, yes. North Carolina, I believe you mentioned. Really interested in what your observations are in this sector, and given your experience, maybe where you see things going.
Yeah, so I was actually the CTO for the Watson IoT platform.
Bigger pattern,
the Watson brand is bigger than that. But so I've been in the IoT organization since at IBM when it was originated. Ironically, the IoT organization originated in the analytics division,
right?
Which is where it should be, because IoT is all about the insights you derive from the data that you collect. So IBM's has a lot of focus around data. And drawing insights from that data, the whole Watson program. You know, everybody's seen Jeopardy now, where IBM Watson beat that. But that data was a different kind of data than what we see with IoT. It was kind of well-bounded data.
And, well, one of the things when you talk about IoT, it's getting that the difference between structured data and unstructured data.
That's right.
What are some of the key challenges in that space?
Well, traditionally, IoT, I mean, IoT has been around a long time. In the OT space, industrial equipment, SCADA systems, they've been collecting metric data, event data for dozens of years now. And that data has typically come in and gone into a time series database and did some analysis on it. That data was structured, right? It was basically integer numbers in most cases, or worst case, a well-structured event coming in. What we're seeing now is the introduction of video and audio data into the stream. And so we're seeing, for example, quality control being introduced by video. And so it's video analysis of the quality of a produced product in a manufacturing line, for example. So that data has totally different characteristics, because you've got to video process it to find out the element that you're looking for, and that video processing itself requires a fair amount of training in order to train so you know what to look for, right? And likewise with audio, you're seeing a lot of movement to use audio recognition patterns. Everything has a normal pattern when it's operating.
But things like video analytics have been around for some time. I suppose it's the difference between obtaining that data and trying to visualize it, but at a AI level or a machine learning level, is to interpret and understand what is being seen, yeah?
Yeah, the irony of this whole thing with video is we're not using the video for a human to watch.
Yeah.
We're using the video for a machine to analyze, so the machine can produce insights about what the machine sees. And so it truly is, the video is just another data stream coming in. But you don't have a person sitting there looking at a monitor going, oh, yeah, I see the problem. The underlying processing has looked for the insight and taken an action based on that insight.
Where do you see this going? Do you think it's just simply going to continue to improve, get smarter with greater capability? Because I just released a podcast yesterday with Fujitsu, mm-hmm. And their spatial systems being used by the New South Wales Department of Agriculture, environmental protection, I beg your pardon,
mm-hmm.
And they're starting to use video for species identification and for weed control, all sorts of different things. And we just heard this morning they're using in fisheries or fish farms, mm-hmm. To monitor fish stock as well. So the applications of video move beyond just, say, city CCTV surveillance or building security into now much more functional systems. And I imagine audio, there's a whole wave of audio applications as well.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing that with video and with the audio side. They're really being used fairly analogously because you're looking for a pattern in that set of data. It's just another data stream. But I think if you kind of go back to your comment about the CCTV, if you think about it, originally CCTV was used to look for large things like traffic congestion or crowds. And we've evolved that technology to now we're looking for a person in a crowd, right? Yep. Or for a sound. You know, a lot of cities now have gunshot detectors, yep. So they can detect that sound pattern. And so we've gone from using it as a mass type of an indicator to refining it. What I think you're going to see with all of these types of analytics is we're going to get into a learning cycle, right? And so I'm going to figure out something from the data I've got that allows me to get a better insight that I'm then going to introduce back out to the environment that's going to allow me to get a better insight. And so we really truly are getting to the point where the machines can learn.
Yep.
And the machines can get smarter. And it's just a repetitive process here. A lot of the same qualities being applied. Also, the cost effectiveness of the compute power itself. You've seen a big move towards GPUs now as processing nodes because the level of processing and the nature of the GPUs themselves allow me to do better processing on this image data or sound data than I could do before. So the cost effectiveness of processing this stuff allows me to find insights faster. So a lot of, I use the perfect storm term a lot, but it really is a perfect storm of technologies that have come together. And the ability for me to recognize the patterns, I think the whole video analysis has really come a long ways in how to process it.
What are the fundamentals around security? Do you still see security as a real important aspect? Not just from a networking edge computing aspect, but also from a public safety aspect as well. What are your thoughts in that?
Security is one of those, it's such a broad term, right?
Yeah.
And so there's really many applications of the term security here. I've got security with regards to protecting the environment and ensuring the data that I collect is the data I think I've collected. I mean, we've all watched the TV shows and the movies where, you know, somebody splices in another set of video and you think something's going on that's not really going on.
But I like you mentioned this morning in terms of your traffic signal.
Yes.
Example. Walk us through your traffic signal example.
I use this as an example often because it's a great indicator of the difference between an IT world and an OT world. In an IT world, I looked at the database, right? And I got some metrics about how the database operated. Well, if you moved it from server A to server B, who cared, right? Some people did, but not many. But if I look at a traffic signal, right? A traffic signal is sitting at the, let's say it's at First and Main Street. And I'm collecting that data from that that says when the signal is green or red. And so I know right now the signal is green on Main Street and red on First Street. Well, what if I take that traffic signal and I move it over to 3rd and 4th Street? I still think it's the same traffic signal, but the data has a totally different meaning.
Yep.
If I turn that traffic signal 90 degrees, it's still the same traffic signal, but the data has a totally different meaning, right? It still says it's green, but now I think it's green one way and it's green another. So take that simple analogy and apply it to anything in the IoT world. Any device that's connected, I really need to know the context of that device in a very confident means.
Because you might have that connectivity, but you don't have that integrity of the data necessarily. So we have to be careful about how much we trust that data. It does come down to the trust of the device and the data that you're receiving, right?
Right. And you're seeing a lot of technologies come along, a trusted identity, trusted identity for a device. Where the trusted identity is, I know this device is the device I think it is. But take my traffic light. My traffic light, yes, it's the traffic light I think it is. But wait, somebody's turned it or someone's moved it. And so knowing the identity of the device is one level of the security of it. Knowing the context and the location and the navigation of that device changes it again. But likewise, I mean, you could apply this to anything, you know, the sensor on a pipeline. Pick any kind of a device that you want to pick. And it really comes down to knowing exactly where it is and exactly what metrics it's reporting in. Another great example is something as simple as, what format the data has been reported in. I saw a case in a building that we were monitoring where an engineer went and replaced a sensor. And we didn't know they replaced the sensor. Well, the sensor data was now coming in centigrade instead of Fahrenheit.
Right.
And there is an overlap between centigrade and Fahrenheit where the data is still valid, But we were getting all kinds of weird results, and no one ever thought it happened because we didn't know the device had been replaced.
Well, it comes down to the architectural pattern that you described also in terms of the IoT hives architecture. I'd like to finish on this in terms of what are your thoughts on how the architecture might be best designed for an IoT and edge type of network?
Yeah, and this is one of those areas too where we've got to look at what the use case is and the business problem we're trying to solve. So there'll be cases where a traditional hierarchical environment works really well. I've got a sensor that's reporting to some central site, and all I really want to know is, you know, is the door open or closed,
yeah.
Right? But there are other environments where I'm going to have, let's pick a paint bay in a manufacturing line. There are a lot of different sensors I want to collect, and I want to have those interacting and understand the relationship between those. Well, that paint bay operates as an entity itself. There may be another paint bay down the road that operates also as an entity. So they can operate individually. That's what I call a hive, or some people are calling those edge clouds. But I also want to be able to share data between them. And this is one of the things I'll talk about in some of my topics tomorrow here, is you've got a kind of a paradox around data. Because a lot of people say, well, edge data, we just collect a little bit of collect the data there, we summarize it, and we report the summary up to the cloud. Or who even needs to report at the cloud? Well, if I have these isolated clouds and they don't share data about the differences between the clouds, I've lost a lot of the insights I can derive. And so this concept of the hive is really a unit of processing, but it's not done in isolation. You actually share data between the different hives.
Got it.
Some people call these edge clouds.
Okay. Well, being from IBM initially and the Watson program, the Watson IoT program, we've covered AI before, and the point of singularity. I'd like to close with your prediction on what you foresee as the point of singularity. How far away do you think we are?
Well, I think there's already good examples of where AI and ML are playing. We're still in the infancy stages with it.
Yeah.
I look at the fundamentals that are there, and I really believe that we're at the point where it'll start becoming real. I think it's like with anything else. We always overthink what it could really do, but there's so many use cases where it makes good sense. And a lot of these cases are unfortunately going to replace some of the human interactions that occur today, but they provide a consistent approach. Humans never are consistent, no matter what we hope.
Yeah.
And so getting to this consistency approach and getting those feedback loops and then this forever growth of learning, I think we're almost there.
Wow. Would you say within 20 years?
20. 20 is a lifetime, man. So, no, I think we're within a few years at most. And in some cases, we're going to see it in the next, you know, really, we're starting to see some of the early stages now, but we're less than five for sure.
Great. Well, Jim Fletcher, now the strategy partner for Momenta Partners. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Good on you, Jim.